Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody here for our members here in the auditorium. For those that are live streaming us, thanks for joining us. And for our guests, thank you for coming to worship with us, and we just pray that the service will be uplifting to you. When I saw the songs that, I found out from somebody about the songs that Tim was going to lead this morning, and every one of them had the word Savior in it. So I thought, well, maybe I better be talking about Jesus today. Well, I was planning on doing it anyhow, but I just thought, throw that out there. But in any case, today I want to talk about Jesus and understanding the cost to follow him. And most of the scripture I'm going to be reading from is going to be from Luke chapter 14. But there will be some other scriptures I'll be reading that aren't from Luke or from other books. But I want to look first at Luke 14, verse 25. Luke 14, verse 25. And it says, "Now great crowds accompanied him." So large crowds were following Jesus. And, you know, when I first looked at that, I thought, well, that's a positive thing. I mean, having a lot of people following him. And you would think that he was being successful because he's got all these followers. But then we could go on a little further, say, hey, think about the direction that he's leading his ministry in, that it's going to be successful. And of course I thought, well, isn't that kind of the goal, to have a large crowd, a large following? Isn't that great? But to Jesus, we find in some cases that this was not a positive thing, that he didn't like the idea necessarily of a large crowd. There's a point, a reason why. But I kind of wondered, why would he not want to have a large following? And the answer is pretty simple. Because a reason for following him was not easy. And Jesus wants to make sure that everyone understands what it takes and what it will take to follow him. And we know there's certain requirements that we have to meet in order to be a Christian, in order to be a good Christian. And that's what Jesus expects from us. He doesn't want a large crowd of people to follow him unless they're ready to listen to him and understand what following him, how that's going to affect their lives. And let's see what Jesus said, and Brian read this already. Let's see what Jesus says here to the crowd. In Luke 14, 26 through 27, it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, and yes, even himself, he cannot be my disciple." And then verse 27 says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, one thing I want you to understand, and for any young people in here, don't hate your family. That's not what Jesus is meaning here. It says that. But if we look at the Greek word, it's miseo, which can mean hatred, but it also means love less. And I think this is the point that Jesus is getting across, and we'll find this out later on too in the sermon, that he wants people to put him first, to love him more than even ourselves. He wants us to love him first and foremost. But I wonder what the people were thinking when they first heard this coming out of Jesus' mouth. That he told them not to focus on their families. He told them, if you want to follow me, your family cannot come first. And he meant that. Jesus definitely wanted not to think people would not love their families. He didn't want that to come across. He wanted to make sure that they understood that he was to put him, that they were to put him first in their lives. And we even find another scripture, I'll just bring this up. In Malachi, I believe it's chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, here God is talking, and here he is talking about Jacob and Esau. And he said, it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Now obviously, in neither case was hate involved. The emotion of hate was involved. It was just to love each other, love less than you will love me. So God didn't hate Esau, and of course he loved Jacob, hated Esau, but hating Esau, he just loved him less than Jacob. And we know the blessing was given to Jacob and not to Esau. So the point that Jesus was making in verse 26 is that our loyalty belongs to him. Jesus above all else. He should be our first and foremost priority along with God. We should choose him. Not even family can come first. Not even family can come ahead of him. Our love for Jesus should outweigh any other love that we might have in our lives, and including our family. And again, if you notice towards the end of verse 26, he even said to hate yourself, love yourself less than Jesus. You can never be above Jesus. Now we know to follow Jesus, we must live a life of self-sacrifice. It means doing his will and not our own. Following Jesus means Jesus above everyone and everything. Now, I don't know this for sure. This is just a hunch I have. But I think after Jesus probably told the people those two things in verses 26 and 27, that maybe the crowd started to feel, thin out. People got to thinking maybe they didn't want to put their family second. Or maybe there are some other things that they wanted to do that they didn't want to be second. But we know that that's what Jesus was saying, that he was first above everything. So when we look at these different things that Jesus said, the one thing that he didn't ever try to do was trick people to follow him. He didn't try to surprise people to follow him and not have them know what it's going to be like if they do follow him. You know, sometimes people will think that they're ready to put Jesus on as their Savior in baptism. And they're gung-ho, and they're living, first few weeks, they're living a good and righteous life, following Jesus and his commandments, and then they fall away. Jesus just wants them to know what following him will be like. And he also wants them to know he really means what he's saying when you need to follow me first. So let's look at Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Luke 9, 57 through 62. And it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. And he goes on to say to another, follow me. But the man said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So, in the first section where he's talking to the person that says, I'll follow you wherever you go, and he said, you know, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Think what Jesus is telling them is they need to understand that it is not, you don't get all the benefits that you might have now if you follow me. And then when we look at the last one about no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God, that kind of makes me think back. You know, I was raised on the farm, and I can remember the first time that Dad put me on the tractor and said, here, you'll plow this field for me. And he told me, find a point out there and keep focused on it. Don't turn around, because if you do, then we'll have crooked roads. And I think what Jesus is saying here is, focus on me. Put me first. Don't look back. Because if you look back, you take your focus off of me, there's a chance you could fall away. And that first person did kind of say the right thing, it seemed like, when he said, I will follow you wherever you go. But did he really understand what he was saying? Did he understand that maybe he wouldn't have the, if he followed Jesus, he wouldn't have the comforts that he had at home? Would he be willing, if need be, not stay with his family, but leave them and follow Jesus? And we know there are some instances, I'm sure some of you are aware, that a person wants to become a Christian in a family, and he gets baptized, and is living a faithful life, but his family doesn't want anything to do with that, and so might say, hey, you have to leave. But in any case, people had to understand what it would take to follow Jesus. And again, it's not an easy choice. And when I say it's not an easy choice, you think about when you became Christians. When you had heard the word and you knew everything that you needed to do. All you had to do is put Jesus on in baptism. And so I think to most of us, that was an easy choice then. And as we grew up, we learned to understand what Jesus expected of us, what we needed to do to please him, what we needed to do to be a disciple of his, Jesus comes first, always. Let's look at Luke 14, verses 28 through 33. Luke 14, verses 28 through 33. And it says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, and all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 men to meet him who comes against him with 20,000 men? And if not, while the other is a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." So here we have an illustration of counting the cost. Have a man that wants to build a tower, but isn't the usual thing to do is to sit down and figure out the cost to that tower and to make sure you have enough money to finish building it. And it's the same thing with the kings that were going to battle one another. Shouldn't we sit down and deliberate and think about whether my army of 10,000 should go against his army of 20,000? No. We need to count the cost. And it goes on to say there in verse 33, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." So there is a cost to follow Jesus. You know, many in the world today think it's easy to follow Jesus. And it is, dependent upon where our faith is. Jesus is telling us that the cost to become a disciple of Christ is not easy. We have to be willing to lose much to follow him. So in other words, when we became a Christian, we knew that there are things that we had to give up in order to follow him correctly, to do his will. We might have had some friends that would lead us down the road of temptation, and we knew that we had to avoid any place where temptations might be, and any people that might tempt us. We knew that there are some things that may be hard for us to get rid of. Maybe we should always prioritize Christ and Jesus, and that's not what we want to get rid of, and make sure that we don't do the things that they do not want us to do. When we look at our lives, we have to think, are we doing that? Are we prioritizing Jesus first? Or are we putting other things in front of him? Following Jesus does not mean life will continue the way it always has. Changes will have to be made. And I want to talk about one other thing that we find in the Bible about counting the cost. And that's the rich young ruler. So let's look at Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22, and it says, "And behold, a man came up to him, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' The man said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I've kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So here we have this rich young ruler coming up to Jesus, and Jesus gives him a choice. Jesus understands from what he has told him, he is a good person. And all he had to do to earn eternal life was to go and sell all his possessions and give to the poor and then follow him. Well, unfortunately, the rich young ruler didn't want to give up all his possessions. He couldn't do that. And so he just walked away. And Jesus had told him, all you have to do is to sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures laid up in heaven. So hopefully we're not making choices like that, whether it be with money or other things that are in our lives. And then my last scripture reading would be Luke 14, verses 34 and 35. Luke 14, verses 34 and 35. And it says, "Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So what's Jesus doing here? He's comparing us to salt. Now, we all know that salt is the main use of salt is to season our food, to make it taste better. And there are other uses, but that's the main one. And that's what he's referring to, I think. But the point is, if the salt loses its saltiness, it's worthless. And that's the same with us. When we become a disciple of Christ, when we became a Christian, we were free of sin. We came up out of that water, and our sins were washed away. But unfortunately, in some, over time, that salt will have less flavor and less flavor and less flavor, and eventually it'll be worthless. And that's what he's saying about us. We need to make sure that we're doing everything that Jesus asks us to do, that we are following his word, that we are willing to make sacrifices in our lives for him. But the problem is, there is no value in any disciple, because, and mainly the main reason is, their heart's desire is something more than just Jesus. And again, we have to be very careful when we make the decisions in our lives. So we are not a disciple to Christ unless we give up everything for Jesus. And refusing to denounce all that we have makes us useless to God. We have, so to speak, lost our salt if we are unwilling to count the cost and make the sacrifice where Jesus says that we must. So in closing, following Jesus is a sacrifice. Now, the sacrifices that we have to make in our life are really small compared to the big picture. This is what Jesus wants us to do with him. Just remember how important it is to be a disciple of Jesus and to follow him, and on that judgment day, hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because we followed him the way he wanted to be followed. We lived the life that he and God wanted us to live. So hopefully we are living that life that God wants us to live, that we have counted the cost, and we continue to count the cost of following Jesus and always trying our best to please him, to do his will. At this time, we offer an invitation for those who haven't been baptized and would like to put him on in baptism. And also, we offer an invitation for those that are Christians that are having problems, maybe need our prayers. If you need to come forward for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing the song of invitation.